my problem is with the free will side of it. And so, well, that's the con side of my argument. The upside is we get more IQ. The downside is you're telling people what to do. And people don't, especially people in America, we don't really like that. And you have to have some reason to have that authority. Because you say, well, if she was at home putting her IQ towards something else, then we would really benefit from that more. But that's your opinion. And you don't get to make other people live by your opinions.
So you have you kind of take offense to someone telling you what to do. Does the university here give you any instructions or tell you what to do at all?
They certainly do.
What about if you do have a job?
No, yes.
Does your boss tell you what to do?
Yes.
College is considered an institution of higher learning, where students are supposed to be challenged, their ideas are questioned, and to become the best future leaders of our nation. I decided to go to the University of Texas in Austin to find out what the best and brightest of our state had to offer. We hear that our institutions are being infiltrated with feminism, communism, liberalism, atheism, but maybe they have better ideas. I put them to the challenge to see if anyone could prove me wrong.
What's your name?
Danny.
Danny, nice to meet you, Jonathan.
Good to meet you, Jonathan. So real quick, I'm just curious because your statement on here is meant to get people to come and look at it, and I want to make sure that you mean what you say right there. So I just wanted to have an investigation into what do you mean by women should stay home? The devil's kind of in the details with something like that. How are you going to instantiate that?
Sure. So the basic premise is that I think that women should not go out into the workplace and get a career. Except there is some few exceptions to that.
What are the exceptions?
Just in the sense that perhaps maybe she has no husband or anybody to provide for her. So this is the basic premise. A woman should get married and stay home instead of going into the workplace. Mm-hmm. That's basically the premise of what I believe, and there is no exceptions to that.
I thought you said there were exceptions.
I'm saying just generally the statement, I think women should stay home generally. There's exceptions to that. But in the context of her already having a husband, she should not go out into the workplace.
Okay, so the benefits of having women stay home outweigh the costs, in your estimation?
I believe it's God's instructions, number one. And number two, I believe it is superior.
God made both men and women in the image of himself, meaning they both have capacity to shape chaos or order out of chaos, correct?
That is false. The Bible does not say that God created man and women in his image. It says that it created man in God's image. Women are created in the image of the man. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For in a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." So according to the Bible, men look like God, women do not. Women are a separate creation, and they're the glory of the man. So there is a distinction between men and women.
Okay. So your system is, there is a distinction. They aren't capable of shaping chaos or order from chaos? Do you believe they are or they aren't?
Can you reword your question? I'll just make sure I understand it.
Okay. Give me a moment. Okay. Humans, what are we essentially? We're fighters on either good or evil, correct? Chaos or order, good, evil, although those aren't the same thing. Do you agree with that?
I believe man has free will, so he can choose to do good or bad.
Okay, that's decent, but I'm saying that they have the same capacity to act on the world.
Men and women have the same capacity to do good or evil?
Yes.
I agree.
Okay. Now, I think that the benefits of women's action in the world vis-a-vis doubling the workforce, which also doubles our possible pool of IQ, outweighs the cost.
There's definitely a GDP argument to be made. If you have women enter the workforce, then you increase the output from a labor perspective. But that is a short-sighted view, because what will happen is you'll have a reduction in population because women will be less likely to give birth. And because of that reduction in population, you're not going to have an exponential growth of the population. So if you actually have women staying home, you're going to have more children birth, so the population will grow faster. And because your population is growing faster, you'll actually have more laborers in the workforce. Additionally, since women are in the workforce, they're causing more adultery in the workforce. They're causing more problems in the workforce because they're not always on the same level as men physically. And so what's happening as a result of that is the workforce is becoming weakened. The workforce has more problems, more divorce, and we have a lower birth rate. If you look in the 1800s, the birth rate was close to 8 children per family. Today, it's under 2 per family. So that exponential growth over a period of time would outweigh, by and large, the labor force or the workforce.
You just conflated two separate issues of women going into the workforce versus the emergence of the birth control pill. The birth control pill is what caused people to have a different, or caused birth rates to plummet. As well, the birth control, women being educated turned out to be the quickest thing that would cause birth rates to plummet. So, and I heard you say to the other guy that you're pro women getting educated. So that downside that you just referred to would be there regardless of whether or not you push them out of the workforce.
I believe that women can be educated from home, reading the Bible, reading online. I'm not against a woman coming to a university or being educated, but the premise, in my opinion, and I think most people agree, is the reason to go to college is usually get a job, get a career, or to further their career advancement. And if that's the premise for a woman coming to the university, then I wholesale disagree with that. I believe that if she was just coming to learn and there was education opportunities for her and it's not neglecting her responsibilities, then go for it. I'm not against education at all. What I am against is the idea of women having this push that they have to get a job, they need to get a career, that we need to double the workforce. And sure, there's a multiplicity of reasons why certain things are true. So the reason why birth rates are declining has many different facets to it. It's mostly coming from a feminist, communist, and Marxist ideology. And we could say that it's from birth. We could say it's from birth control. That's true. It's also coming from a lot of other factors, such as public education, and that's correlated, not necessarily a causation. Mm-hmm. There's also other reasons of just increased promiscuity, reduction in morality, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things are related. And I would say it's not one issue. It's multiple issues that cause a lowering in the birth rates. But you also have increasements in technology. The Industrial Revolution is also a major reason why we have the reduction in birth rates specifically. It affords women the opportunity to even do so. In prior times, without the Industrial Revolution, without technology, without all these advancements that we've had as a society, this wouldn't even really be a discussion. I mean, in previous generations, everybody's having a lot of kids just because that's how life works.
Yeah, but that was because 99% of the labor was physical labor, and I am de facto better at physical labor than the average woman because I am large and 200 pounds. So there was no need for them. However, now it's the information era. All of the work, all of the work that gets done, or 90% of it at this point, is cognitive. And women have the same, roughly the same IQ as men, meaning they have the same amount to bring to the table. And on the technological revolution edge, you can say there's multiple causes of birth rates deflating, and of course there is, because it's this massive issue. However, you made it the problem of communists and feminists, when that's, you're going to have to give me something to make that move. I'm saying it's the birth pill, which was a technological revolution.
Have you read the Communist Manifesto?
God, no.
Well, if the Communist Manifesto, where Karl Marx literally said that you have to bring in feminism and you have to employ women in the workforce in order to bring in communism, if that's what he literally said, that's not my opinion. That's what he's saying in his own manifesto.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he isn't saying that. He can say that all he wants. I'm saying that I'll give it 10% of the reason.
Okay.
I'm going to give 78% to the fact that women could control their reproductive rights with the birth control pill. Giving them independence that they never had before.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think children are important?
I'm the only person who thinks children aren't. Of course I think children are important.
So do you think that the people that raise those children should be very educated, very smart, very capable individuals?
Yes, they should probably go to college.
So you think that women have to go to college to be able to raise children successfully?
No, they don't have to. However, if you want to be able to inform your kids about what's happening in the world, how to think, how to read, how to speak, those skills, they're difficult to pick up on your own, especially writing. Writing, you need constant someone looking at your work and going, wrong, 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 do this better. I think it would be great if they could. I just don't think that those skill sets happen without, well, I actually don't like how this place does it either, but somebody needs to be teaching these, and colleges were supposed to.
Now, you said you want to learn how to think. Is that what you believe, or should you learn how to critically think?
No, you learn how to think. A lot of what we're taught for critical thinking is questioning other people's ideas and not letting us question theirs. So you learn how to think by reading. You learn how to think by writing. You learn how to think by putting an idea on paper and then battling it with another idea in your mind. And we're not taught that, which is a failure of this place. However, that's what I think is important for them to know.
Well, I agree that the best ideas will show themselves true. And so that's why I'm here today to advocate, you know, what I believe and what I think is true. Mm-hmm. I think that women staying home is going to be superior for the children's sake. Because if we look at our current society, mm-hmm. children are mostly being sent to public school by and large, mm-hmm. and they're still being taught many times by a woman. Mm-hmm. Why does a strange woman, is that woman better at raising my children than my wife?
I would never say that she's better, although maybe she is. You don't know that she isn't or is. But that's not my argument. My argument fundamentally is having a higher IQ pool of people to work is good. That's the benefit. That's the upside. And the downside is your problem doesn't do well against free will. So you say they should. They should. What if they don't want to?
Well, of course, I'm not saying that we don't have free will. Of course, women can do whatever they want. But if children are important, even if my wife had a higher IQ than me, why would I not want to still invest her IQ into my children rather than in the workforce, especially if I can make more money than her? And I would argue this, if I can make more money than her and she has an higher IQ and I can put that to the use of my children, that would be far superior.
Hey, they're both good investments in IQ and capital, but once again, my problem is with the free will side of it. And so, well, that's the con side of my argument. The upside is we get more IQ. The downside is you're telling people what to do. And people don't, especially people in America, we don't really like that. And you have to have some reason to have that authority. Because you say, well, if she was at home putting her IQ towards something else, then we would really benefit from that more. But that's your opinion. And you don't get to make other people live by your opinions.
So you have you kind of take offense to someone telling you what to do. Does the university here give you any instructions or tell you what to do at all?
They certainly do.
What about if you do have a job?
No, yes.
Does your boss tell you what to do?
Yes.
So is there a problem with someone being told what to do?
They educate me, my boss pays me. You don't do either. That's why they have the authority to tell me what to do.
If a husband is providing 100% for his wife, he pays all of the bills and he takes care of all the responsibility in that regard, does he not have the right to tell his wife what to do?
Oh, you can try, but that's a terrible f***ing idea. If you want to dominate the one person in your life that you're going to be attached to, all they're going to do is stab you in the back the moment you turn around every time. So you could say he has that authority, but it's not going to work out that way. We're humans. Humans don't get dominated well.
So I have a question. When are you going to stab your boss in the back for telling you what to do?
Depends on how good of a leader they are. People stab their bosses in the back all the time. They undermine them. They do less work. You know, people often go to work 8 hours a day. They're only working like two. That's because their boss is a prick. Now, if the boss inspired them and gave them a vision, I'm learning about leadership, by the way, here. If they inspire them and give them a vision, they work for them 100%. And so people absolutely stab their bosses, but they don't have to. Bosses can be better.
What is your opinion on the Bible itself? Just curious.
A very interesting text at the root of our culture with a great deal of wisdom and a lot of wisdom in it, really. It's a good, I prefer its psychological analysis to its actual literate analysis.
Okay, so the Bible does tell...
How are we on this?
Well, we're talking about, I want to ask the question first, what you thought about the Bible, then get your thoughts on a few Bible verses. Okay. So the Bible does tell wives to submit under their husbands and to obey them in everything. The Bible also tells us that the husband is the head of the wife. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that women are supposed to be keepers at home. Mm-hmm. So would you say that you agree with any of those premises, or you just think that women and men should be on an equal playing level?
I think, like with just about every piece of information, you can nitpick sources within it to prove your point. I think that's what you're doing. I think you'll probably find some contradiction in there as well. But regardless of that, I hold the Bible in some respect, but not enough respect to follow every single word from it verbatim, especially when it's being quoted by somebody who is selecting things for their argument.
Okay, I'm just curious. Is there a single verse you think you could show me that would contradict what I just said?
You're going to put a 1,600-page book in front of me and tell me to find something? I've never read this before. Of course not.
Well, you told me that you believe there's contradictions, but you've never read the book, so why do you believe that?
Because it's made by people. We all have contradictions within us.
Well, the Bible proclaims to be it's God's word. So it claims that there is no contradiction, that it's the truth. It's without error. I believe that with all my heart. I believe, in fact, the King James Bible that I hold right here is God's literal words in English preserved for us today, and that there is no error whatsoever, and is the instructions from the one who's created all of us. So if I'm going to live life most successfully, I'm going to follow the instructions of the operator, the creator, which I believe is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is where, that's my presupposition, right? That's my, how I look at the world and I the lens that I come from, right?
Right. Except that we have hundreds, thousands of people that argue about religious texts every day, citing contradictions, and they find them. So I don't know. And also, if there's no contradiction, if this is the one true word of God, why didn't it shine forth as this thing that we all listen to instead of having Judaism, Hinduism, Islam? We have all these other things because some people somewhere, just as smart as you, looked at that and went, something's missing.
Well, let me ask you this question. What do you think is the most popular book in human history?
Oh, the Bible, bar none.
Okay. What do you think is the most read book in human history?
I'm guessing you're going to ask me about three questions that are all, say, Bible.
Okay. Now, you said that you think if this was the word of God, it would shine forth. Do you think the most popular book, the most published book of all of human history, and arguably probably the most studied book of all human history, might outshine the other literature in our society?
Yeah. Like I said, I have great respect for the Bible. However, there are other people with other ideas that I have the same amount of respect for.
That goes to free will, right?
If you want it to.
Okay. Well, the Bible does have at the beginning, the devil said, yea, hath God said. So the devil wants to put doubt on God's word. He wants us to not trust in what he said. Yes. Someone get him water. I want to give you a few verses. I don't know that we've really made a lot of progress in this conversation, but I at least want to, yeah, that's good. The Bible does say this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plenty of the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So according to the Bible, women should obey their husbands no matter what, and that actually the most godly attribute a woman could have is being meek and quiet. What do you think about that?
I think that's an improper definition of the word meek. Meek does not mean to be small and weak and hurtable. Weak means those who have swords but shield them and do not use them. Those who have the ability to fight back but choose peace. So I do believe that if a woman is with you and she can argue with you and she can be the feedback that you have, not through necessarily only argument, but a certain degree of that kind of meekness, that is a winning combination that usually makes people more powerful together.
Well, I greatly value women's opinions. I believe, though, that the men should make the decisions. So every decision made in my household is made by the man, every direction of the family. And so it's important for there to be leadership, and it's important to know who's in charge, right? If we go to the workplace, we don't wonder who the boss is. We don't wonder who the CEO is. We already know so that we can actually move forward as a company, move forward in the right direction. Similarly, in a family unit, we need leadership. We need someone to make the decisions. And God ordained it that men should be in charge.
Here's the thing. You make the decisions. Okay.
Yes.
You're pretty, and this isn't to you, this is to everybody. We're all pretty dumb, and we have a lot of blind sides, and we make a lot of mistakes. However, if you put two people working together, they do a lot better. And so if you have somebody to bounce your ideas off of and work with, the solution is almost always better. And then you also have the free will issue of if you tell your wife everything to do and she cannot act on her own, she will resent you because she's a human being and we don't like being dominated. And when that happens, we stab you in the back.
I would argue that women actually are the happiest when they're being told what to do by their husband and they submit to his authority and his leadership. The Bible does say that it's not good for the man to be alone, and that's why God created him a helpmeet, which is the woman, and she's the perfect counterpart to God's creation. And so I do believe it's important for men to have that companionship of a woman. Women give great advice. Women have, I think, unique abilities and talents that God has given them. But I believe that their talents are best used in raising children, guiding the house, and being a subservient wife to their husband. I'm going to kind of give you one last thought because I feel like we've been talking in circles a little bit here. But based on the premise of our argument, you kind of disagree with me. What's your best argument? Based on what we talked about today, what is your best argument as to why you think women should go out and get a career and not stay home and raise the children?
First of all, 1% of people have a career. Can I hold this? Or do you want to hold it? I'm not going to throw it at anybody, I promise.
Okay.
All right. 1% of people have a career. Most people have jobs, and that's perfectly fine. My argument is you have a downside that you're not looking very closely at, which is you're telling them what to do. They have free will. They're not going to like that. You're dominating them. Therefore, they're going to stab you in the back the second you're done. The upside of my argument is that we get a larger IQ pool and a better workforce in our new information era spaces that we didn't have at any point in time. That is my argument. Well, that's one side of each part of the argument. And what's yours?
Yeah, I fundamentally disagree. I think that women, even using the resources, we better at home than in the workforce. We would have a better output. And I explained to you earlier how we'd have a greater growth potential over a long period of time. So I don't think we're gonna agree.
But how do you deal with the backstabbing there? Or do you just fundamentally...
My wife has never stabbed me in the back, nor do I believe that she ever would. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of women that are very faithful and loyal to their husbands. And I believe that most women want to be faithful and loyal to the husbands. I don't think that a caring and loving husband would cause a woman to want to stab him in the back. That's kind of a cynical view on women, to say
on
that
people.
Women would just
people.
Want to stab men in the back.
No, it's a view on people. So we can call it a fundamental disagreement on human nature.
All right, well, I appreciate you talking with me today. Maybe we can get a woman to give us her perspective on this one. Do we have any ladies here that want to talk to us for a second?